Good to see all of you. What's happening in 2 weeks? Anybody looking forward to Christmas? Raise your hand if you're not looking forward to it. Okay, everyone in Hakone EM is looking forward to Christmas. This is also my personal and my family's stuff every time of the year. As we all know, Christmas celebrates the birth of Jesus, which is at the core of our Christian gospel. Last week, if you remember, Brother Kevin Fan, he preached to us from Matthew 1 on the account of the birth of Jesus from Joseph's point of view. And today, we'll study from Luke 1, the announcement of the birth of Jesus from Mary's side. Today's sermon is titled, "The Christmas Inspired by Mary's Faith." Last week, Kevin powerfully drove home the gospel message of proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah, concluding with three main points. Christ's disciples like us, we should believe the Savior in this Christmas season. We should celebrate the birth of Jesus, and we should study the Savior. For the last point, I hope you remember like I do. Kevin Fenn did an amazing job of iterating through the lightning round of illustrating and spelling out how Jesus can be seen in every single book of the Bible, all 66 of them. That was really amazing. That inspired me and motivated me to look for Jesus whenever I read the Bible in every book. Today, let's prepare our heart for the upcoming season, the season of joy, from a different angle. We'll see how Mary's faith and his obedience shall inspire us to answer God's call ourselves, and how we can submit to his will joyfully and willingly. And in doing so, we can really, truly celebrate a very Merry Christmas this year as our response to the good news of the gospel. Today we'll read from Luke 1, verses 26 to 38. Let's read together. Okay, oh, this is pretty small. Okay. Verse 26. In the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and, verse 29, confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," and the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God." Verse 31, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Verse 34. Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." Angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her 6 months. For the word of God would never fail." Verse 38. Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for revealing to us this truth. Thank you for giving us this divine truth via the Gospel of Luke. May our study of your word today inspire us and learn from Mary how simple faith can change the world. Bless our worship together in your spirit. Amen. This is frankly, I hope this story is not foreign to most of you, and that you may have learned it from children's Sunday school. You may have heard a story repeatedly in near every Christmas. Frankly, it's a very, very simple story. There's no fancy word and or any hidden messages or parables here. It's pretty understandable. It may not be easy to believe every word, but it's easy to understand. This simple story in this 10 to 12 verses changed the whole world for the 2,000 years after that and the rest of the human history to come. In chapter 1, before verse 26, Luke was mainly talking about the family of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Elizabeth was pregnant with a baby who was later known as the John the Baptist. Beginning in verse 26, we just read, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to this young lady, Mary, who was about to be married to Joseph. When I say young lady, Mary at the time couldn't be more than 15 or at most 16 years old. The angel did not come with fanfare. He simply quietly showed up. But in other places, this is a little bit of a digression about the angelic appearances in the Bible. Pretty exciting. In other places in the Bible, the appearance of angels is usually intense, sometimes very scary. If you remember some of them. This is reading from Daniel 10, 5 to 6. This is what Daniel saw in a vision. I looked up and saw a man dressed in linen clothing with a belt of pure gold around his waist. His body looked like a precious gem. His face flashed like lightning, and his eyes flamed like torches. His arms and feet shone like polished bronze, and his voice roared like a vast multitude of people. That's the picture on the upper right side. That's the angel that Daniel saw. Pretty scary, right? And if you remember in Isaiah 6:4, that's the seraphim, right? Isaiah saw the Lord himself along with the many seraphims. That's the picture at the bottom. Isaiah said, Isaiah 6:4, their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. These were examples of angelic experiences. But you get my point. All these angels were loud and spectacularly looking, and honestly, they're hard to look at. But no, not this angel. When angel Gabriel was sent to Mary, Gabriel did not come with a glowing light or roaring thunder. He simply showed up and he started saying, "Greetings." Did you find it strange? Angel would show up and say, "Greetings." Well, what does greetings mean? Hello, right? Hello. And for whatever reason, I got so curious about this word greetings, I actually did my own research on this one word. I kid you not, I went to 10 different translations, NIV, ESV, NLT, NASB, you name it. Guess what? In every translation, it's the same word. Greetings. Hello. Only one exception, the good old King James version. It says, hail. Do you know what hail means? When I was asking Sunday school, when I was given a similar sermon a while back, I asked the kids there, what does hail mean? And the lady, young lady raised her hand and said, isn't that kind of a weather condition? I said, yeah, it is. It is a weather condition, but it also means hello in a more stronger positive tone. Maybe you can say it's hello, right? That's hell. Okay? And God sent this gentle angel Gabriel with a very gentle tone to deliver this very powerful message to the common girl Mary. He said, hello, you who got favors, he is with you. Let's try to imagine this angelic visiting. Imagine this situation with the experience with someone we know, right? This completely nice but fabricated story. Let's say Pastor Ben today, after going home from church, after taking care of his girls, and he goes to bed, and in the middle of the night, an angel appears. And he said, "Greetings. Hello, Ben. Your favorite boy from God, by God." How do you think he will respond? We all know Ben's a brave man, but would he be a bit scared? Ben would probably be a little bit shocked, excited, and at the same time, a bit confused. Mary was like that too, a mixture of many emotions. Then the next thing Gabriel said in verse 31 is even more astonishing to Mary. The angel said, "You will conceive and give birth to a son. You will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called Son of the Most High." Listening to this, Mary's thinking quickly, but it made no sense to her. Remember here, when you see an angel, if I was Mary, when I saw an angel, I would probably be scared and revered angel, whatever he or she says, I'll just say, yes, yes, yes. I'll turn off my brain. But not Mary. Mary did not turn off her brain. She kept thinking about what the angel said. And she concluded, this didn't make sense. She said, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." Then the angel responded, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." How do you think what Mary would say next? Unexpectedly, the young Mary, remember, she was no more than 15 or 16. She said in verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant. I'm the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." If you stop and think, I would like everyone to think a bit about this response. Maybe we read the story for so many times, we just take everything for granted. This is what happened. Mary is just special. But let's think about it. Why is this one surprising? Here's what we know about Mary. Like I said, she's just a common young Jewish girl who probably was a handmaiden or a girl from a poor or common family. And we know that she was about to get married to Joseph. We learned from Kevin's message last week, and also if you read Matthew 1, this Joseph guy seems to be a very decent man, right? He was a just man, and Mary was about to start a very happy life, married life with Joseph. That's the second thing we know about Mary. The third thing, she had no encounter with the angels or God or anything supernatural before, at least the Bible didn't tell us so. So this common young girl in the village, hearing all these strange things from the angel, after thinking about it, and she just said, "Yes, Lord, I will do it." She just surrendered to God's will and submits to God's plans for her, seemingly so easily. Mary did not see this as a suggestion or a proposal. Mary didn't say, I'm using modern language now. Mary didn't say, "Well, what isn't this deal for me?" She didn't say, "How do I benefit from completing this mission, God?" She did not ask Gabriel, "Well, what you have said is interesting, but tell me more details and I'll think about it." She didn't say any of that. No, she just trusts God's will and surrendered. If you peek through this verse one more time to see her state of mind, this surrender, even though we use the word surrender, but it's not meant in the common sense that when you submit to a powerful being. It's not about, "Hey, I guess I don't want to do this, but since you're so powerful, to avoid bad consequences, I guess I'll just do it." No, we didn't see that. We didn't see any reluctance at all. She simply says, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. This is surrender out of admiration and willing submission. Mary is simply saying, I don't understand what you're talking about, but I will serve you as my Lord. Mary knew the price to pay by saying yes. Mary did not make this decision to obey very lightly. Like I said a bit earlier, she didn't turn off her brain. She kept thinking about this. One thing that was likely to run through her mind when she was thinking was, by accepting this request, there's a price to pay. What is the price? There's much to lose by doing this for God. By bearing a child before marriage, she would likely be disowned and outcast by her families, her parents, a friend circle. Her fiancé, Joseph, would likely just call off the engagement and marriage. In fact, we learn from Matthew 1, Joseph did think about doing that until the angel stopped him. And it will be unlikely. So let's say Joseph called off the wedding, the marriage. But after that, it's unlikely for any other man to marry her because of the shame. How would she then support herself? Unlike today, right? Not big deal. I'm a single parent. I'll make my money. I'll support my family. But not back then. So this will also mean extreme poverty by saying yes. Mary knew the price to pay. And she said yes. After thinking through all this, she's still saying, I'm the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. At this point in the sermon, you may expect me to bring up applications. You may expect me to say, let's all learn from Mary. And let's all emulate her faith and serve God. Yes, that's what I'm trying to say, but not so fast. You'll probably think to yourself, well, Mary is great. Just like many Bible heroes and heroines, they're just empowered by God. They're just walking so closely to God on a daily basis. And they know God's will so well. They're in God's spirit, day in and day out. And just like all Bible heroes, I can't do that, but Mary could. Well, in many cases, that statement might be true. We don't have to look far. Let me give you one example. One example of such Bible heroes, right? And this is also part of the Christmas story. I would encourage you to read further. So we're in the Christmas season. It's a good time to read the gospel in the first few chapters to learn the whole Christmas story. So today we're studying Luke 1, and just turn the page into Luke 2, and there's this one such hero. And this is the story of a Simeon. If you remember this old faithful man, Simeon, he actually lived in the temple for many years, praying day and night, because years ago, God revealed to him that he would not die until he saw the Messiah in his own eyes. And fast forward from today's story of the inspiration, the revelation of Jesus' birth, and then Jesus was born. And when Jesus was 8 days old, Joseph and Mary, they took Jesus to the temple to dedicate the baby to God. And that is the part of the Jewish tradition at the time. And this old man, Simeon, remember, he had been praying day and night to see the Messiah before he can close his eyes. When he saw baby Jesus, he just knew at the moment, this is the one. This is the moment I've been looking for. And he actually said to God in Luke 2, verse 29, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people, and he is the light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel. What a Christmas story, right? That's Simeon. But back to this point about Mary. Mary was not Simeon. She was a common girl, very young, living in the village, doing house chores all day. She did not pray day and night to see the Messiah. She did not have any divine revelation. She did not see angels until this moment. So now, the point I will try to convey to you is, Mary, like all of us, had no prior supernatural experiences either. A modern reader of the story may think, myself included, well, Mary lived in the pre-scientific world, and she's uneducated, and she's not as sophisticated like me, and it must have been a lot easier for her to accept this impossible news. I'm not sure if their argument would hold up either. Yes, it is true. We're educated with modern science and therefore may have a harder time if we were given that message because of our scientific background. But it wasn't easy for Mary either. She might not have learned biology. She might not have taken physics or chemistry classes. But she knew the natural law very well. And she knew how women get pregnant. And that's why she questioned the angel without much hesitation in verse 34. How can this be? I'm a virgin. Not only did she know the natural law, she was likely brought up learning Jewish scriptures. And Jews were quite against the idea of God's incarnation or the very idea of virgin birth. Bringing up, like us, it was completely countercultural. It's completely unnatural to believe what the angel told her. For these two points, I want to say that if a 15-year-old peasant girl can overcome her barriers to accept God's call, despite not having a strong track record of religious or supernatural experiences, and she could have the courage to accept the call, knowing the consequences, countering all her understanding of how the world works, couldn't we try to do the same? More than Mary, we're actually more fortunate than Mary, as we have seen the whole gospel of Jesus laid out in front of us in the scriptures. We know, if we believe it, the promise of God through Jesus in the New Testament. When Mary accepted the call from God in Luke 1, she did not have the knowledge. She did not know the baby she would bear is the Savior of the world. She did not know, did not have the saving truth that has been vividly revealed to us in the New Testament. She did not know, by trusting God, we get to drink the eternal living water, as Jesus told the Samaritan woman at the well. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water well up to eternal life. Mary also did not learn how in difficulties, in the low points in life, because she will experience many, we can draw from God's strength, from the verses like what Apostle Paul in his testimony in 2 Corinthians as an example, my grace is sufficient for you and my power is made perfect in weakness. Mary didn't hear any of that. Therefore, I would, and Paul kept on saying, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. Mary didn't hear that. And yet, she answered the call. Even more importantly, we know the gospel fully now. if we believe it. The life-changing gospel shall change all of us and embolden us to accept the call from God. If you remember the story when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked God, Heavenly Father, if that cup can be removed from him. But he went to the cross out of his obedience to God and his love for all of us. If you really take in the gospel message deeply into our hearts, we would say, God, if you have done this for me, I can answer your call and do this for you. If Mary, 2,000-some years ago, was able to accept the call without the exposure of God's grace and mercy, as we learn, we shall definitely answer the call positively too. An hour from now, three members of our English congregation will get baptized, joined by seven others from the Chinese side. There will be 10 of them. 10 of them in an hour will get baptized into brothers and sisters in Christ with all of us. Congrats to all of them. It's a big day. It's a happy day. I'm sure for 10 of them and their families, this is the best way to celebrate Christmas this year, because they answered God's call. God may not give us a mission like Mary's in that magnitude. The consequence of accepting the call may not be as grave as Mary's. But isn't it true that the best way to celebrate Christmas is to answer a call from God, inspired by what we learned about Mary today? This year, praise the Lord, many brothers and sisters in our English ministry answer God's call. I'll just give a few examples. I know I'm missing a lot of people, but allow me to give examples. Sister Sabrina, we all know her well, and she was leading many, many projects, many ministries, and this year she accepted the call to be nominated as the first deaconess from the English ministry. Praise God for that. And there are many other examples. Sister Julissa here. This year, she decided to join the youth fellowship on Friday nights. Oh, we all know that's hard work. I don't know why, but it's hard work. And praise the Lord. She took up the call and decided to help the team, Sam Liu, Kevin Hong, Angela, and others, and Jaira, to serve in that ministry. Our sister Priscilla here. This year, she started to teach Sunday school in a very short time. I heard from many parents and other teachers. She really made a huge impact to the ministry. Praise the Lord for that. And if you saw the praise team today, Victor volunteered himself and told me and Ruth, I want to join the praise team without anyone asking. Praise the Lord. He answered the call. And this year, if you remember our Jara here, he started the internship. He started the internship at the EM. And I hope all of you would agree with me. He's doing a great job here. He also answered the call. Last example. You remember in the last two or three fall festivals, we have ice cream served to the kids and all of us, right? That ministry was started by a single person among us. That's Brother Keith. He feels so strongly about serving the community, serving the kids, making them even more successful by serving ice cream. This is hard work. A lot of preparation, a lot of cleaning, a lot of expertise, right? I already watched him doing this three times. I still don't know how to do it. So that's the call that Keith accepted. Oh, and one last but not least, our Pastor Ben, he also tried something new this year and made a big impact in that ministry. Do you know what that is? The Babyland.
Yeah.
So Ben is having a great time over there, already making a big impact serving in the baby land. Good job, Ben. Praise our God. Many answer God's call and service in ministries of our church this year. And many more will come and celebrate Christmas this year by taking a call. Let me invite the praise team to come up. I also want to make another important point. The call from God is not limited to what we do at church. It's not only about church services. It should also be about serving outside the church. For example, let me start with the easy one. Be a great comforter in your friend circle. Show God's love and care for friends you may have lost touch for a long time. Give her a call. Write him a card. Ask how they're doing. Or God's call can be about serving those in need. Jesus said in Matthew 25:45, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me." Serving the least is to serve God. Or the call from God can be, this is a hard one, this is difficult, can be about forgiveness. Forgiving a person you have had a hard time to forgive. Jesus told Peter he ought to forgive his brothers and sisters 77 times. That's a big number. But how about starting with one? Forgive somebody you cannot forgive yet once for Jesus. I know in our church community, church families, many of them this year celebrated forgiveness and reconciliation. But many others are still in progress. May God strengthen them. And this Christmas, we learn about Mary. Despite facing many obstacles and consequences, Mary answered a call 2,000 years ago. We saw God's call being answered in our community too. Inspired by Mary's faith and obedience, would you celebrate this Christmas by answering a call? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your salvation. We thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for delivering to us. Today, your word, the simple story we may all have been familiar with, of Mary's faith and her obedience. Lord, we know that you have a call for each and every one of us, maybe more than one. Strengthen us. Some of these may not be easy. We need your help. Other than the gathering, the food, and all the good things we usually see at Christmas, those are good things. Help us in celebrating this holiday season in your spirit by taking a call from you. It's to serve you, to serve the people you love. That's a true way of celebrating Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray.